Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we bless your Lord. We praise your holy name, God, for you are worthy, Lord, of all of the praises, God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Can I get me one somebody that don't mind standing up and giving God some glory? For he is worthy of all of our praises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, toward us. Hallelujah. He is a great God. Oh, yes, he is. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, praise and worship team, for just inviting us into your space of worship this morning. I thank God again for everything that has been said in the ministry of music on this day. At this time, we're going to ask you if you would have in your Bibles the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 4, and drop down 7 through 10. And then in the New Testament, it will be John 20, 20th chapter, verses 21 through 23. Once you have it, if you wouldn't mind resting on your feet. Now, if you're unable to do so, please, we don't take offense because we know that these bodies sometimes don't cooperate. So please make sure if you can stand. If you can't, we got it. We understand. In the book of Ezekiel, 37 chapter, verses 1 through 14, 7 through 10, I just want you to know that the background of this is one of God's dealing with his people. And this is a vision that he's given the man of God. And again, is going to be one that is a vision to chasten, but at the same time, to give them hope. See, that's the beautiful thing about the word of God. On one hand, it can chasten, and another, it can lift you up. And so that's what we'll see going on in here. But if you would, let's look at this passage of scripture. Please, you read it silently as I read it aloud in your hearing. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Everybody say very dry.
Very dry.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse 3, and he said unto them, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Somebody say that sounds like a question. Because it is a question. He wants to know, can these dried up bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I wish somebody would hear the word this morning. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Everybody say, no breath. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, but they, that they may live. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them. They lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. In the New Testament, John 20, 21 through 23, then said Jesus unto them again. See, every now and then, the word must be reiterated. That's why sometimes you have to hear something over and over again. Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Eternal God, once again, we are gathered here today, and we realize, Lord, that it's no goodness of our own, but it's by your grace that we're here assembled today. Now, Lord, let us not just be a hearer of the word today, but let us be a doer, actively, Lord, achieving what the word has to say. And God, once again, your servant, Lord, desperately needs your anointing, because it's through your anointing that yokes and fetters and chains are broken. People are set free and delivered. And Lord, when all of these things are said and done, remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Before you're seated, I just want to look at the one verse in John 20 and verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the remaining time that I have with you, I like to minister to you from this thought, the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
the Holy Ghost
makes the difference.
God bless you. You may be seated. The missing ingredient. When you think of an ingredient, it is a substance that forms part of a mixture. It can be considered the main factor in the outcome of the process. Now, I am blessed, we are blessed in ministry to have a baker extraordinaire amongst us by the name of Sister Lily Tyler. I got it firsthand from Sister Lily Tyler. When you're baking a cake, there's a lot of things that we know that go into it. We know you have your eggs, we have your milk, you have your vanilla and all of that stuff that goes into it. But there's one thing that if you don't put it in, we really can't call it a cake. Baking soda and baking powder. See, just in case you didn't understand what the purpose of the baking soda and baking powder was, it is to make the thing that you are making a cake, that you want to say is a cake, it has this, what do I call it? This missing ingredient. You see, without this missing ingredient, you don't have a cake. Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because what will happen is if you don't have the baking soda or baking powder, the cake will not rise. Oh, I wish I could get me one or something to get the revelation. You see, without the Holy Ghost, You cannot rise. Thank you, Sister Lily. God bless you. You're preaching this one today. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must be spirit-filled. Brothers and sisters, guests and visitors, YouTube, Facebook, Anchor, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Which everyone who says that they are a believer must have. Somebody say, you must have it. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ. Now, listen. Don't get mad at me. Don't withhold from me today. But I'm telling you what the Bible said. Ye are none of his. Brother Haynes didn't say that. No. That comes from the good book. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are none of his. That's when you'll get there and you'll think, well, I paid my tithe. I paid my offering. I was in church. And what he's going to say to you is, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Whew. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear that. No, those are some words I don't want to hear. You see, if we be honest, can I get me one or two people to be honest today? Come on, tell the truth and stay in church. If we be honest, there are those who say that they are believers who have yet to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My question to you is, bruh, sis, why? Why are you living beneath your privileges? It's a privilege to have the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, the Holy Ghost comes with some benefits. Oh, yes, it does. He'll lead and guide you into all truths. He'll give you power to live right. So why would you live beneath your privileges? I need you to see that's the missing ingredient in your walk with Christ. The Holy, talk back to me. You see, Jesus commands his disciples that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When you get a chance, go back. This is that day where Mary Magdalene and them came to the sepulcher to see Jesus, to attend to his body, but he wasn't there. And while he wasn't there is because no grave can hold my body down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No grave, no chains, no fetters can hold my body down. So when they came, the angel said, wait a minute, what are you doing? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? But you remember, you can continue to go on in that count. And so what happens is now, Jesus is standing behind them, and they don't understand it. They don't recognize him. And how many of you know that he does know your name? Oh, yes, he does. He knows your name. Bruh, sis, I promise you he knows your name. How do I know that? Because you know, and you can testify. There are times you're walking or you're driving, and all of a sudden you hear somebody call your name. You hear an audible voice call your name, and you might do one of these numbers. Don't do that while you drive now, but if you're walking pedestrian, you can look around because he knows your name. See, they weren't aware that was Jesus, and so behind them they were like, where's he at? I don't know where. They thought he was the gardener, and then he said Mary. Soon as he said Mary, she knew it was the Lord. She knew it was nobody but Jesus. And what happens now? the Lord commissions them. And that's why if you got a problem with a woman preacher, you must don't know your word. They were the very first ones that evangelized. They went out and told everybody, he's alive, he's alive. No grave could hold him down. And so she went and she told the disciples about that. And when she told them, they were kind of skeptical. Matter of fact, they were hiding because they were fearful that the Jews would imprison them and, worst case scenario, kill them. So they were behind closed doors. And so the Bible says us that Jesus goes through the door. First thing he says, because he knew they was going to, he said, peace. Be unto you. Peace be unto you. Whatever you're going through in your life, peace be unto you. And then he began to share some things with them, and they knew this was the Lord. Now, unfortunately, just like in most cases, there's always going to be some that don't make the meeting. They won't be in church when they need to be in church. And that one somebody was what we call him, Thomas. He wasn't there. And so Thomas said, they would tell him, hey, man, Thomas, the Lord is alive. Man, he's real. He's not. He said, man, unless I put my hand in the nail prints in his hand and stick my head in his side, nah. So about 8 days passed away. Same scenario. The door is shut. Somebody said, the door is shut. Because you shut the door don't mean you're shutting Jesus out. Can I get me one somebody to hear that? Just because you shut your door mentally, emotionally, spiritually, doesn't mean that he can't step through the door. So he steps through the door. First thing he tells Thomas, Thomas, Lord, thank you. Y'all need to get this revelation. Thank you. Jesus wasn't even there, but he heard the conversation. So first thing he said was, Thomas, come on. Feel my hand. Go ahead. Put it in my side. Now, Thomas is like, oh, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, it is better, basically, for you to have not seen and believe. See, some of you all must be from Missouri, the show me state. Unless you show me, preacher, I don't believe it. Let me get on. We're talking about the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost makes the difference. He's that difference maker. And we go on in this, and we will see a little bit more. But let me go back for a minute for John 20, 21 through 23. When this happened, Jesus, and let me read the account again so you're clear on exactly what happened. Then said Jesus to them, again, don't forget the scenario, what actually happened. He had risen from the dead. They were in hiding. He steps through the door. Peace be unto you. Then Jesus said to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Somebody say, he's talking to me now. In the 21st century, he's talking to you. Get busy for Jesus. Get and tell somebody there is a God that loves you enough that while we were yet in our sins, he robed himself in flesh, came down through 40 and two generations, and died for us. So he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so, send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that all that was a symbolic gesture? As of yet, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost had not taken place yet. It occurs in Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that's when it happened. And so now he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But that was symbolic. Brothers and sisters, just like for those that will come to Orangeburg, South Carolina in the month of June, the latter Wednesday through Friday, or Thursday through Saturday, we'll have our South Carolina Community of Churches conference. And in that conference, we take what is known as Holy Communion. And in that, we take the bread, which represents his body, and we break it, and we eat it. And we take the grape juice. Yeah, for all you sippers in here, no alcohol in this one. Is non-fermented. We take that and we drink it. Now, did we just now eat the body of Christ and drink the blood of Jesus? No, it's symbolic. Just like behind that wall, there is a baptismal pool waiting for somebody today. If you've never repented of your sins or been baptized in Jesus' name, there is a true place where you can go. And we'll take you down in Jesus' name. Well, now, that is just symbolic of the death and the burial and the resurrection. Just in case y'all want to know, when I take you down, I don't leave you down. No, I bring you back up, symbolizing you resurrected and you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see now that that's what that was about. Now, if I could invite your attention back to our original scripture in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. And please allow me, I want you to understand, I understand that it's, again, speaking specifically to the children of Israel and what is being done, but it's also applicable to us in this day and time that we live in. Now, when we look at that, it says, after a while, well, let me go back for a minute and get back to that place. When we look at the account, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel. He's saying the Lord's hand was upon me. There was this prophetic ministry, this anointing that was upon me. And it carried me out in the spirit. Somebody said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, in case you wondered how those bones got there. It was a battle between two armies. It was a fierce battle. And there was a lot of soldiers that died. And they automatically ceased and left the bodies there. That's how that valley began to be that valley that we call the Valley of Dry Bones. And he caused me to pass by round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Can you imagine the sun beating down on that dead carcass? Can you imagine those scavengers that came in and ate from the bones? But now the sun has baked them. They're dry and brittle. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? In other words, you see the shape these bones are in, and the bones represent souls. You see the shape that these souls, they tore up from the floor up. Can they live? Now, Ezekiel was smart. He answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, it would behoove you to stop looking at folk and judging them, saying what they can never be for God, how they can never live holy. You don't know. He asked the question, can these bones live? He said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see, it was an emblem of the wickedness and the wretchedness of Israel. But it also gave us a hope that the bodies could be resurrected. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I am waiting for that great getting up morning. Because one day we're going to have to leave here. Some of us will be caught up in the air to meet him. Some of us, the grave has to bust open. But no matter what, we're going to all ascend to be with him. So it represented that. Verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. In other words, their soul is going to come back and ye shall live. So I prophesied as I was commanded. See, that's the problem. God has not. See, some of y'all think it was a suggestion when he told you to go tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody is sitting here, you thought when he told you to go that that was optional. Somebody say it's not optional. He commanded him to speak to the bones. And it's something wonderful happens when we are obedient to God and to his word. And he prophesied. There was, now listen, when he prophesied to the bones, all of a sudden the Bible said there was a noise. Then there was a shaking. And all of a sudden, it said the bones came together. My God, the bones came together. The bones came together. I wish I could give me somebody to get that in your spirit. After a while, the bones began to come together. You know how it goes. The toe bone connected to the foot bone. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the knee bone. The knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Then we come on up, and then all of a sudden it's the spine bone. And you come on up a little bit more. It comes to the head and then the shoulders, and all of a sudden you see it standing there. But it's dead. Some of you are the living dead, walking dead men. When you are behind the prison and it's time for you to receive the consequences of your actions. And in the state of South Carolina, they still have the electric chair. And as they take you to the electric chair, the guys in the other cells, they say something like this: dead man walking. Dead man walking. Some of you are dead and don't know it. A word is coming today, but will you hear it? Will you listen and receive it? You need the Holy Ghost to get up out of here. So after all of that connecting, all of a sudden, it comes together. But even after the bones got together, they were still dead. So you know what God did? God commanded that the bones be covered with sinew and flesh, and they were still dead. So the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy. Priest, son, tell him. Prophesy into the wind. Can you imagine? The wind represents the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. The bones represent souls. In order for the souls to live, it has to have the breath in them. Oh, see, y'all don't believe me. You see, the Bible said when he created man, he formed him out of the dust of the earth. I can imagine. See, God, thank you, Jesus. He likes to play with dirt. Mm-hmm. We were all dirt. He loves to get his hand mixed in the dirt. So he's down there and he's shaping man. Put everything together. But one thing was missing. He was still dead. But the Bible said he And when he breathed on him, man became a living soul. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He became a living soul. He told him, prophesy to the wind. Say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four corners. So he did that. From the four corners, he spoke from the north to the south, from the south to the west, from the west to the east. All of those places where there were dead men walking, he brought the wind to come and filled him. You see, those bones didn't live until the wind began to blow. My God, we just came out of the season, what we call Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the celebration. But I'm saying to somebody today, I want the winds of Pentecost to blow again. Lord, let the winds of Pentecost blow again. Let somebody that's sitting here that needs the Holy Ghost say, Lord, fill me. Those bones did not begin to live until the wind blew. And even though those bones were standing up, they didn't have life until the wind blew. Receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, remember the Lord, he told his disciples that he had already given them power. Mm-hmm. If you go in John 14, 15, and 16, he had already talked about the things that he would give them. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Yes, he did. I've already given you power to cast out demons and devils. But I want you to have that dunamis power, that dynamite power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the uttermost parts of the earth. Now what they did then, they went to the upper room. Somebody said, it's time to go to the upper room. Now, I've got some folk in here. If you want the Holy Ghost, it's time to go to the upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one in one place, with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, just like you sitting. When the presence of God comes in, it doesn't have to be usher. They don't need to get, the Spirit of God doesn't need the usher to walk with them down and say, well, you can sit right here, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows who he needs to sit next to. The Holy Ghost, you know I need you. And when that happened, when that Holy Ghost came, it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And watch this. It said upon each of them, you need it? You need it? Wherever it was needed, it said upon each of them. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Brothers and sisters, I'm almost done. I want somebody to understand the missing ingredient in your life is the Holy Ghost. What you need is the Spirit of God to keep you. It is that dunamis, that dynamite power that you lack in your life. But I promise you, if you would oh taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. Oh, yes, he is. He is good and he is faithful. If you're here today and you know that you say, I'm a believer, but you're not walking in the Holy Ghost, you haven't ever received it. And then newsflash, for those that hadn't spoke to the Lord in an unknown tongue in years, it's time for refreshing. It's time for a renewal.
The winds of Pentecost are blowing again.
But the question on the floor is, are you ready to receive it? Can I get you to stand? The missing ingredient is the Holy Ghost that will make the difference in your life. It'll take you through times of difficulty, times when you feel like giving up and giving in to the flesh. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truths. The Holy Ghost is a keeper, but he only keeps those who want to be kept. And somebody sitting standing there, and that's okay. I know somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, and they die out of here. And guess what? You might be absolutely right. They have the Holy Ghost. But the question on the floor is, does the Holy Ghost have them? Can the Holy Ghost tell them, no matter what time of day, I got somebody I want you to go share the word with. And you go unapologetically to them and say, brother, Jesus loves you. Don't know if you know him, but he's the man from Galilee. If you're living in sin, he'll set you free. You see, does the Holy Ghost have you to where it'll cause you to go to somebody, knock on their door, and have some groceries and say, here you go. And when that door shuts, they're falling on their knees because they had just got up from their knees praying, Lord, please send somebody. See, that's when the Holy Ghost has you. The Holy Ghost has you when you want to give somebody the last piece of your mind. You better stop that. You're going to wind up in Bull Street because you won't have no more mind left. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You better learn to zip it up. Shut it up. Today is a day of salvation. Harden not your hearts as they did in the day of provocation when they heard the word. See, even in that valley of dry bones, those bones were there for a long time. But God saw their condition, saw that they were in need of a Savior, and he sent a word. If you notice, every time he said, and the word of the Lord commanded me. Please start listening to the commander in chief as he commands you to live holy. Somebody might say, well, why? Because the one that called you is holy. And if he's holy, you're a representative of him. And he wants you to live holy in your speech. I'm telling you, I'm tired of people saying, well, you know, you could be a Christian, you just, you know, you curse every now and then. The devil is a liar. You're a Christian, and every now and then you could pop that Bud Light and look. But you're a Christian. Every now, I got to light them up. See, if this is uncomfortable for you, that means the Holy Ghost is dealing with you right now. If this makes you like, wow, I hope he don't say that. Well, I won't say anything, but I'm going to be like Ezekiel this morning. If the Lord commanded me, I'm not going to let you stop me from getting my blessing. The altar is open, and I'm going to be the first partaker. For all of you that are, oh, they going to think if I come up there. Well, here I am. Lord, just as I am. I'm broken. I'm frustrated. I find myself questioning you at times. And I'm coming now, God, and I'm saying, you are that ingredient. Your spirit, I need it daily. I need the Holy Ghost to lead and guide me. I need to follow you. Are you here today? Ain't no shame in my game. I know I need a refreshing. I need a renewing. I need God to give me a fresh and anew. Your power, your spirit. Because without it, I am nothing. Now these are here at the altar. You will be anointed with oil. And listen, that oil has no significance other than the fact that we're acting in obedience to the scripture. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. The prayer of faith. Anybody got faith this morning? Yes, a little bit of faith. Whatever you came up to the altar for, you're going to walk away with it. If you need the Holy Ghost, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on a vessel that wants to be emptied out in full. Are you here?
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.